Hello, floaters and float amigos. I am sneaking back into this channel to share more performance testing knowledge with all of you. I will start, as usual, thanking my float amigos for looking away to the elsewhere when I sneak in to participate into this channel. And thanks as well to you, the floater amigos who are watching this on episodes. I want to thank you very much. Now, getting into the content. Today, I will talk to you about distributed load tests. We will describe what they are, how they are different from other load tests, and some tips to get them right. By now, you might have heard of these distributed load tests, but what exactly are them? The name can be a bit self-descriptive, I know, but there is much more underneath the hood on this. But yes, as the name indicates, a distributed load test is one where you do not have only one load generation device, one load generator. For the test to be called distributed, you need to have at least two generators. In strict essence, just that. Only that makes it a distributed load test. When you have two or more devices generating load, they become distributed, separated. They aren't generating load from the same single location. They have a separate location. The interesting part starts when you try to define what you mean by distributed, because this is very open to interpretation. As I mentioned, distributed can be defined just by having more than one device generating the load. The key here becomes how much distance there is in between them. For this, you need to answer why you need to distribute your load. This will help you in defining it. So, let's go over that and answer what could be the why to distribute the load. There are two main reasons why you may want to distribute the load. One is to increase the numbers of simulated threads. And second is a need to see how things perform in different locations. The first one generally happens when the amount of load that you need to generate goes beyond the capacity of the machine you have for that, for load generation. A solution generally is to increase the power of the generator machine. But you will reach a point where a single factor on that machine will put a hard limit on it. This factor could be CPU processing power, multi-CPU switching capacity, available memory in terms of RAM or hard drive as well, network bandwidth, and many others. But once again, here we have our four performageddon horsemen, which are forcing us to distribute our efforts into another machine or machines. There could be more than two, actually. Some purists might say that even these generators are sitting inside the same cluster as VMs. They have been separated, distanced, or, well, distributed. The second reason why you may want to do a distributed execution is to measure what happens with the performance in different distributed locations. This second reason may not have anything to do with the capacity of the load generators as it did before. You may even want to run only one virtual user or thread on each machine. All you may need is to measure the differences they will experience being in different places. The key here is the distance between those places. Some may be okay just with the load generated on different computers on the same network. That might be enough to be called distributed. But the distribution could be a different floor on a building, or separated buildings, neighborhoods, different states, different countries, and who knows, maybe even different planets in space. Yeah. Did you know you can measure the performance and user experience in space? I mean, those astronauts need Netflix, right? But back to the topic. The distribution can be widespread and simultaneous. You may want to test what would be the experience of different countries using your system, your solution, or in a smaller distribution size. It could be just the neighborhoods in your city, or using your solution by hundreds, thousands, and even millions at the same time, but still in the same neighborhood. There are all kinds of mixes that you might want to do, big or small numbers together with large or tiny distances. But remember, distribute the load only if you require more capacity to generate load or measure the experience in multiple locations. With that cleared on, let's move on and talk about how to achieve a distributed load test. This may sound like a trivial matter, but distributed load testing has little perks that you must be careful with in order to achieve it. For one, there is the matter of preparing the machines that will be generating the load. You will have to place in each of them whatever is needed. That could be the code of the automation, resources for the automation, such as user IDs or parameters, also to assign some space, assign what folders for the results will be used, and many others. Man, you will even need to install the software that will do the actual executions of the automation on each machine. Beware, there are many steps that you must be careful with before you embark on trying to do a distributed load test, especially if the machines that you need to prepare are far, hard to access, and you may even lack the permissions to get in and configure them. And as well, after you have everything ready on the machines, the next issue is to orchestrate the execution. And that will include as well many, many more tasks. To start, you must start the executions. In other words, trigger them or turn them on, booting their processes. Usually one by one or all together, that can be hard when you have many LGs, load generators, to start. Imagine that you have only 50 load generators to start. 50, it's quite a bit. Oof. And that is not too much. I have been in tests that use way, way more. Then, the next big step will be to babysit everything. You need to be checking the results on each load generator. You need to be aware if there are any problems, or just observe if everything is going smoothly. With this in mind, think of babysitting those 50 load generators. It would be like 50 babies separated in different cribs. Then one starts crying for food, the other for diapers, and 10 more because they are cold. Pretty scary scenario, right? And last, after everything completes, you must turn off the load generators. That may not only consist of the routine to stop, but as well gather the results, consolidate them all together, and even probably at the end uninstall stuff. So, to help, many organizations have implemented several mechanisms that can aid you in this endeavor. Even several applications come with some of that functionality available inside of them in the load testing suite. Those have different names, such as the orchestrator, the controller, or even a slave master setup. But some of those require many and complicated configuration steps, while others may be more or less user-friendly. In general, none are 100% plug and play. And also, don't get too much at ease, since most of these care only about the babysitting part. All the preparation are difficult. But other solutions take care of the load generator setup part, bringing up instances, virtual machines, containers, and many other methods that come up already packed up. You only have to invoke them and voila, ready to receive automations and start loading and reporting results. And that is another part that can become tricky: results reporting preparations. Those could be embedded in the scripts, managed by the babysitter or by an APM. But dealing with the results is another tough task on which platforms can help you. And since we are on this channel, take a look at Flood's capabilities, as it can help you with all those issues and more. Check it out. The Amiga Nicole has lots of videos about it. You should look at them. But well, amigos, it's that time again. I hope this set of explanations were awesome and fun, and mostly that you enjoyed them. And that's all from me today. Thank you for watching, and for now, adios amigos, gracias.
Boy, we sure learned a lot today with Leandro telling us about distributed load tests. But before you go on doing lots of distributed load tests just because now you know about them, you must be aware of the risks they pose. Be sure to do them only when you need to test different locations or need more load power. And if the distributed load is over many time zones, make sure your scenario is realistic, as not every time zone usually logs at the same time. As well, the distributed load will add network time to your response results. Do not forget to also test pretty close to the tested server. You know, That way, you will get as well local results and be able to tell what causes the slow response, knowing if the problem comes from the network or if it comes from the app. Don't be a fool. Help yourself discovering those bottlenecks. Do not test loco ese. Well, and that is it from me. Until the next time, adios amigos.